So we're getting on to Easter week, and like we heard today that it's Palm Sunday, which marks the triumphal entry to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming on a donkey as a king, and there's great joy in the great city. Now we know that the following week actually is full of testing, but it's also full of teaching. And Jesus takes every opportunity to talk to people, cover everything that he came to do, and do it in a way that is very plain to those who see, but it's been obstructed from those whose hearts are not there yet. So today we're looking at a journey that Jesus made in Jerusalem, but also more on how does that reflect on our walk here on life, and not just here, but actually we're on a journey to eternity. And really, what's God's teaching about that, and how can we get there? And God's teaching is always very simple. That doesn't mean that it's easy, or following those simple guidelines is easy. So today's episode is essentially three things. We'll talk about grace and prayer and salvation. And how do these fit together? There's a couple of scriptures there. There are on the PDF handouts for those who will look at it later. We'll be on the church website, and we'll cover all of them during here. But to link these, I think it's fairly simple to say that grace is what we need here and now to get from one day to another. Grace from God for individually, but also grace from us between us, so that we can actually bear with each other and live here as well as we can, sinning every day. And then on the other hand, there is salvation. It's a big thing, far away. We don't know how far away it is. It could be today or tomorrow, but we live like it's further away. And then there's prayer as a way of helping us on the way. So now, if we start looking at how do these things come together, and I think the key thing here is a single word. It's God's grace or mercy. And then I did this speak in a fairly similar form in Helsinki two weeks ago. And in Finland, we only have one word for the same thing. It's called armo, which is, it makes it much easier because it's a single word that has both of those aspects. But now, what does grace or mercy mean to you? What kind of connotations, what kind of ideas, thoughts it brings to you?
Loving.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Absolution. Patience.
Absolution, that's a good biblical term. Anything else?
Patience.
Patience. I think of parents with their children, and that kind of brings in a lot of these things. We have to bear with our children. Sometimes children also need to bear with their parents. But it is that whatever the children do, you still love them. However they behave, even if you feel like throwing them out or doing whatever, you still keep doing it. Sometimes it's tough, but God made children, especially little children, especially when they're like 2 years old, as extra sweet and special, so that we don't actually throw them out. But it was lovely to see children up front, and just children touch our hearts. Jesus says that we should be like children in our honesty and straightforwardness, in that uncomplicated way how we express our feelings. And then the good thing with children is they mostly learn, not necessarily all the time, but life is a learning experience. So let's see what the Bible says about grace. I love Isaiah. It makes a good reading, even just as a book. But there's so much wisdom and foreshadowing of Jesus.
Yeah.
In Isaiah 30:18 it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show your compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." And they said, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He's just waiting for us to be there and receive it. Like, of course, you could just give it. It's like with the children, you can give them this and that. But if they're not in a receiving mode, it just goes to waste this time. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. So the God is actually doing actively something for us. It's not just waiting there. He's actually rising up and waiting when we're ready. And blessed are all we who wait for him. So it requires two sides. Grace is an active word, like love. Grace is also something that we don't deserve. We can't earn it. I think that's one of the complicated thing about God. Simple things, yes, we need grace, but there's nothing we can do to earn it. But if we come close to God, God wants to give it to us. Romans 8 reads, "For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And really what God is saying here, that he's waiting to show his mercy on us, but also there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. Now it still remains that we need to accept that love. God can push it and instill it on us, but that's not really how it works. Strong words. Then if you look at what's the other end of this story in salvation, and we remember a lot of these stories, but in John 3:14 it reads, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness," so he had to raise it up, "so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." And this obviously refers to Jesus on the cross. But one verse later it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And this is the stark contrast of a price huge, beyond our comprehension. And then that love, that say, okay, we willingly do everything we can, or God wants to do everything he can to make us realize that we need to come to him. And that's really what God wants us to do. Now, what does eternal life mean? We know that the life here is temporary. It's fraught with trouble, weariness, pain, but some joy. But you take the pain and the tiredness and the woes of the world away, and you leave left with the joy and singing and elation forever. We can't describe that, we can't picture it, but it's like going on to a really, really nice holiday that never ends. And you can have your best friends with you. You don't have to take any of your worries or chores with you. And it's just going to be fantastic. All inclusive, best places. We know when God puts in a party, or puts on a party, it's going to be good.
Yes.
Also says that everyone who believes will be saved. It's a promise. And when God promises something, he keeps it. So it's not an empty promise. And he also doesn't want anyone to perish. That is that he doesn't want to lose anyone. It's like the shepherd who has 100 sheep, one goes missing, he leaves the 99 and goes after that one. And he lays his life over the life of the sheep so that everyone can be saved. Now, how do we get from grace and salvation? There's a big gap from today and eternity. And I think we can do that only one day at a time. And God's main tool for that one is prayer. And then to me, this prayer is man talking to God, or man in discussion or in attendance of God. And it's active. It's we need to do things rather than just be. First we need to stop from our whatever we're doing for a moment. Whether it's a short moment, sometimes prayers can be very short, sometimes it's putting aside much more time to be with God. It's listening to what God has to say. It's coming to church and listening to messages. It's reading your Bible. It's talking to other people. Sometimes it's just being in nature and admiring the creation. Listening to music. God speaks to us in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. It's also confession. Okay, well, we know we're not perfect. We sin every day. We fall flat on what the model of Jesus is every day. And be open about it that I've done this. If you do the same thing over and over again, God help me grow, help me learn. And then it's asking God for help. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8 say, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So again, a promise. There's instruction and promise. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words." Because God already knows what you need. God already knows where I am. He will hear us. And God tells us, ask. Ask, knock on the door, it shall be opened. Ask, you shall receive. And when God gives, He gives graciously. So now, how does this tie together? So, our God has three personas, because God is the creator of the world. He's the Father. He's also the counselor. And now, if I look at these three things, grace, salvation, and prayer, we see that they actually tie up really nicely with the three personas of God. So we have grace from God who created the world and who wants us to be with Him. We got salvation in Jesus. And then we got the Holy Spirit who's with us all the time as we get on our daily lives so that we can pray. He intercedes for us. He's the counselor. Sometimes He's also the conscience, hopefully good conscience. If there's bad conscience, then we might think that there's something that's nagging. But we've got a reminder with us. So I think that's kind of the overview picture. Now, then we move on to how God wants us to talk to Him. And the teaching is really simple. And we all know the Lord's Prayer. And I think that's what we're going to spend the other half of the sermon with is let's have a closer look at what God teaches us and says how to pray. Again, in Matthew, the same thing. He gives us guidance on how to pray. Not babble, but concentrate time and forget about everything else for that matter. And it reads in Matthew 6, "Our Father," the Lord's Prayer. "This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It's a short prayer, but it covers a lot of ground. And often we think, okay, well, it's just the easy thing. We just recite these things and not really think about too much. But if you look at it more closely, is that even the opening passages, we acknowledge that God is God, our Father in heaven. hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And just, God just simply says to us, pray. Pray constantly. It's simple. We acknowledge that God is the Almighty God, the creator of the world. But also, He is the Father, Jesus our Lord, the creator of the universe. That's the opening. So it's us stopping and acknowledging that who God is and what He can do. Now, then God tells us to be more specific. Give us today our daily bread. 6 words, but a lot of food for thought. He already knows what we need before we ask Him. But we need to understand what we need also. And if you think about bread, the bread of life, it's everything we need to live. So that's what we need to ask Him. And we need different things. There's a number of passages that God already knows. Look at the birds and the lilies. They do not spin, but then they are clothed like this. And daily means that we can only live one day at a time, like the Israelites when they were wandering in the desert, they got manna for just for one day. Anything else that was over got spoiled and turned really ugly. We only need to have whatever what we actually need today, but we need it every day. And I think that's really the thing, is as long as we're here, we need to have that daily portion assigned to us today. And God will give it to us. Sometimes we don't know what happens to tomorrow, even on a normal day. Those of us who've had some challenges, I think most of us have had a few, sometimes think, oh, we're not going to make it till tomorrow, or this is too much to carry. And whether it is food or money, or health, or patience, whatever it is that we need to get to tomorrow, ask God, and God will give it to us. He also goes a little deeper, talks about bigger things like the debt. In verse 12 it reads, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now the first line is actually quite easy. So we ask for, okay, I owe you something, I've done something, loaned something or that I need to pay back. And please forgive me. That's the easy bit. And then God wants to put us into the same position, that if we receive forgiveness of debt, we need to forgive to others whatever we've done, or who, regardless of what do they owe to us. And that can be difficult. And it's not just money. Money is easy. It's the emotional stuff that is much more difficult. Past hurts, grievances, falling out, those kind of things where we humans fall so flat, and we carry that load with us. So we need to forgive and forget. Forgiving might come, but the forgetting is the really difficult part. And not re-remembering it. Because once it's done, like Jesus has taken our sin away, it's like Malcolm said in the beginning when we were praying, it's obliterated. So it's totally washed clean. It doesn't have a clue that there's no forensic evidence, no DNA for the CSI team to come in and sort it out. So it's gone. It's like a memory stick that you throw into a fire, and then it's definitely gone. And there's also the original sin. So if you think about going back into what mankind has done, is that God gave us paradise to live in. Perfect place. Like heaven, but the first version. But our sins have separated us from God, both as a mankind, but also as individuals. But we have a solution to that. Jesus has paid for our sins when he went on to Jerusalem and he died on that cross for each and every one of us. And you look at that price and you think about the whole story of Easter and from joy to tame, testing, trial, flogging, dying, and then again joy in raising from the dead. Because God can do miracles, and He can do that for each and one of us. But we still need to pay, remember to forgive those who have worked against us, and we need to forgive the debts to anyone who has emotional debt for us. And the last bit of the teaching is goes a bit further again. It actually looks for the future. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then this gives us a little guidance going forward. It's like, okay, we're here now, we're okay, but let's try not to fall short of the model or the idea. The Greek word for temptation can also mean testing, any kind of testing. Opportunities to get angry, to be jealous, to say a harsh word, they come easy. And God wants us to be sheltered from that. And temptation is what I see this is a danger for us as the freedom of choice, because God gave us free will. And because we're human and we have the weakness of the human heart, so we do not remember. And in the moment, we may not want to remember. And I think that's the sad part, that is we often willingly and knowingly sin against God's rule. And we're all guilty of that. And then the other hand is that it's not just about us and God. There's a bigger battle going on between Satan, the evil one. And he waits for the opportune time to trip us, cause division in small things. And when we are not paying attention, when we're not close to God, this can grow. And suddenly a little crack grows into a big divide. And perhaps something that can be resolved. Especially with human relations, that's really important. And really, all Satan eventually can do is slow down God's plan. God's plan will prevail. But we may not actually enjoy the ride as much as we could have, because we messed up in the process. We know that one. We burned a couple of houses on the way, some to our own doing and some to things that happened. And if that didn't happen, we perhaps enjoyed the ride a bit more. But then again, we think that would we have learned what we've gone through? Would we be the same people if we hadn't gone through those difficulties? And if we're imperfect or we've messed up, we become more relatable to those who are not Christians yet and other Christians around us, so we can be open and truthful. So the whole thing finishes, and not in all the verses of the Bible, with a doxology. It's just really a way of us actually worshipping this one. And it's like, for thine be the kingdom, power and glory forever. Amen. And that's again us acknowledging God. Jesus didn't say this, obviously, because everything else was Jesus' words. But this is something that's being put on as a reminder for us that, okay, it's now our time to pay attention. And we acknowledge the power of the Almighty God, and at the same time we can surrender in His grace and love. And be like little children. And just look at Joella there. And you know that as little children we are vulnerable and we're totally dependent on the parents. And it's a good place to be most of the time. Sometimes children are not happy, but that's a different thing. So I think that's really, really the thing. And if you look at a kind of a four-step plan to salvation, I think it's a bit like we're on the AA or the 12-step program. So there's first awareness of where we are. Then there's recognition, there's confession, and then there's request, asking. And really, the awareness is understanding our human situation, nature. We all need grace. We're not able to help us, and we can't just pull ourselves from our own boots out of the mud. We're stuck. We need help. But also the thing is that we're not worthy. If I think that I deserve it, I'm on the wrong way. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Then there's recognition. The next thing is that we say, "Our Father, God, I'm here. I know who you are. You're there." And saying, I am guilty. I sin. I need help." And then we can go on to really asking God on a daily basis, on bigger things, but on smaller things, "Please God, give us our daily bread. Forgive our debt. Give us freedom from sin. Just give us mercy. Love us." And that's really where the circle ends. That if you put a bigger circle on top of those three things, John said, God is love. And the three different faces or facets of God, God the Creator, God the Father, Jesus the Salvation Bringer, and the Holy Spirit, all work together in helping us go to heaven. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.